In the name of our Good Shepherd, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I love when Mother's Day and Good Shepherd Sunday fall on the same Sunday because often there's so many parallels between what moms do for us and what shepherds do for sheep that it's a great day for us to celebrate both. But today, for sure, you'll have a chance to honor and thank your mother, or if the case may be, to remember her. And as we do that, we probably have two options of how we're going to do this. I have two options as to how I'm going to do that with my mother, too. I could live life in a fantasy world where everything between mom and me is perfect, right? That I have a picture-perfect relationship with mom, no problems. I could pretend that I perfectly love and respect her at all times. I could pretend that I always remember her birthday. I could pretend that I never set off fireworks indoors. I could pretend that I always agree with how many days I was grounded for setting off fireworks indoors. But if I do that, you know, and I know, and my mom knows that that is a fantasy world. I'm just fooling myself. So alternatively, I could be honest, and I could show you an honest, a real picture of my relationship with my mother. But if I'm going to be honest about my relationship with my mom, if I'm going to be honest today about how it's not always perfect, then I probably have some apologizing to do on Mother's Day. You know, it's the exact same choice that confronts us. How are we going to mark this day when we read Psalm 23? Because in Psalm 23, the Lord takes us up to this literary height where we can take in a whole scape of all sorts of things around us. So up on Psalm 23, you can see the green pastures on the hillside, right? You know what those days are like, those days when things are going well by God's grace, right? From up here, you can see the path of righteousness. And by God's grace, you've been there too, that God has guided you along your path and put you in the right places, doing the right things. Of course, over there in the middle is the darkest valley you've ever seen. You've spent some time there. The Bible's not shy about the dark valleys of our lives, whether that be from grief or from guilt, whether your valley was some diagnosis you received or some depression you've battled. In fact, one Christian writer said, "The spiritual life doesn't pull us out of the real world so that we are out of trouble. It actually drives us deeper and deeper into the real world with real problems so that we can learn to pray to God from right there." But the psalm goes on past the valley. There's a table with a cup that the Lord is filling, and the wine keeps rising and rising, right? The blessings keep filling and filling until a bit of the stuff runs over the rim. And that, off in the distance, that house belongs to the Lord. And someday, to you too. Psalm 23, this is the kind of panoramic that people write poetry about, right? This is the kind of thing that David wrote his poem about. And as my mind's eye sees all the visions and the scenes in Psalm 23, you hear something too. The poet lifts his eyes from the landscape and he looks up to the Lord and he says this one phrase in the middle of the psalm that sweetens every scene that you can see. This one phrase in a whisper to his Lord, "You are with me." That in the green pastures, the Lord is right there with me. He makes me lie down. In the dark valley, the Lord is right there with me. He comforts me. At the table, the Lord fills my cup, and finally, we're going to end up at the Lord's house. And I've become convinced that this is why people like Psalm 23, because it takes the whole Christian human experience and it injects this truth into every piece of it. You are with me. You are with me. You are with me. And so we're going to just read through the psalm together now. And as we do, I just want you to enjoy it. I just want you to picture in your mind's eye all these scenes and know that the Lord is with you with each one and just really enjoy it, because as soon as we're done finishing reading the psalm, I'm going to ruin it for you. Okay? Let's read this together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, I wish that my mind's eye could just see those beautiful pictures and leave it at that, but at every scene along the way, there's commentary. So in the green pastures, the commentary says, I want for nothing. And in the dark valley, the commentary says, I fear no evil. And finally, it says, the Lord has never let me down, right? I lack for nothing. And that commentary gives us two choices, just like the two choices we have for celebrating Mother's Day. I could live my world, live Psalm 23 in a fantasy world. I could stand here and paste on a smile and kind of nervously assert to all of you that, yeah, I've never wanted anything in my life. I've never been afraid. The Lord is with me, so my life is always perfect all the time. But if I did that, you would know, and I would know, and the Lord would know that I'm just fooling myself. I mean, you could do the same thing. You could sit here today and say to your brothers and sisters, I want for nothing. But think of how that's going to affect your brother who's trying to be honest about his struggle with greed. You could stand here and say, I've been through the dark valleys and I never flinched. But that's gonna be an insult to your sister who's walking through the valley right now and she's terrified. We could, you know, pretend that we've never struggled. We could pretend that these beautiful pictures are all there is, but finally, I don't want to sit here and say Psalm 23 with my fingers crossed behind my back. So our alternative is to be honest. The other choice is we can honor the Lord with honesty. Did anyone else kind of feel a little weird as we sang the last hymn? As we sang lines like, I nothing lack if I am His. When throughout the week I've been thinking about all the things I need. Or in death's dark veil I fear no ill, when I haven't even confronted death face to face yet, and I've been afraid hundreds of times. Your goodness fails me never. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song, but that is the song of a better man than me. I can't honestly say all this on my own. If this is what it sounds like to know God, if this is what it sounds like to really trust in Jesus fully with my heart, then I've got some apologizing to do today. Good Shepherd, have mercy on your half-hearted sheep. Makes me think of a quote from a German pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor in Germany during World War II. And he said this about the Psalms. A psalm that we cannot utter as a prayer, that makes us falter and horrifies us, is a hint that someone else is praying, not we. A hint that someone else is praying, not we. So when the psalm says, I shall not be in want, who is the I that's saying that? I mean, the original author was King David, who wanted Bathsheba so much that he killed to get her. When the psalm says, I fear no evil, who's saying that? David, who spent his youth dodging the spears of King Saul, his predecessor, and spent his adult years running from the sword of his son? No, David's not a good enough man to pray this honestly. I'm not good enough to pray this honestly. No one in the world is capable of praying Psalm 23 and meaning it. Unless, of course, the Lamb in Psalm 23 is also the Good Shepherd. Unless, of course, Revelation chapter 7 is right. And the good shepherd is also the lamb who sits on the throne in heaven, who's shed his blood to make us clean. If the one who says, I shall not be in want, is the one who trusted Jesus, or trusted his Father's plan perfectly, what if the one who said, I fear no evil in death's dark valley, is the one who did not remove himself from this world of trouble, but drove himself deeper and deeper into it, into the real world with real suffering and real death, and prayed to God from right there? The second half of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote goes like this: the one who in the Psalms is protesting his innocence, who is invoking God's judgment, who has come to such infinite depths of suffering, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. These words of Psalm 23, these are Jesus' words. In fact, the only way I can ever sing Psalm 23 and mean it is if Jesus sang it first. Jesus passed through the green pastures, the dark valley. Jesus sat at the table in the presence of his enemies. He went through everything that's listed here, and he made it all the way back home to his Father's home in heaven. And at every scene along the way, he prayed perfect prayers to his Father. He did it all perfectly, and then he did the unthinkable. He turned around and he gave that perfect life to you. St. Paul wrote, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, we might be the righteousness of God. It turns out Christian living Psalm 23, isn't about striving so hard to be content, or working really hard to walk in the right path, or trying to put on a brave face in the valley of suffering. Turns out living Psalm 23 just means finding ourselves, finding our perfection more and more in him. In Christ, we can dare to be sinners. If Christ is right at my side, I can dare to be honest on Good Shepherd Sunday about my failures to pray this right. In Christ, if he is right at my side, then he is my perfection. This is Jesus' song, and now he invites us to sing along. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she's a mother. She is going to celebrate Mother's Day today with her kids. And she told me about how sometimes in church, she likes to sing the harmony part to the hymns, right? Some people do that. But her child did not appreciate that, right? Her child said, what are you doing, Mom? Until one day, when she heard the child singing the harmony part. You know, she told me, you know, that's how I learned to do this. That's how I learned to do this. She said, I heard my parents singing harmony when I was young. And that just reminded me how awesome it is for moms to be role models like that, right? You can do this in any area of life, but I'm thinking of singing. How awesome it is to sing next to Mom, because she knows how this goes, right? And as you're learning to sing a new harmony or a new melody, maybe you're not so sure what the next note comes, and maybe you're not quite a strong enough singer, maybe you're a little uncertain. And so when your voice falters and kind of hesitates, you rely on Mom's strength, on Mom's confidence, and her song covers over yours. That's how we pray Psalm 23. As we learn to be content in the green pastures, as we learn to go through the dark valleys, as we learn to walk in the paths of righteousness, when we find that we're not enough, that we're too weak, that we're still doubting, we realize there's a better singer of this psalm. And Jesus, when we falter, his song covers us. His perfection covers over us. So I'd like you to imagine yourself back in that literary height overlooking all these scenes, right? You can see the valley and the pasture and the table and all that. And now you're there and the Lord is with you, right? The Lord is with you as you look at all this stuff, and you're going to recite the psalm, but this time your good shepherd is with you. The Lord is right there with you. And as you recite the psalm, you're a little nervous, so you start out, the Lord is my shepherd. Look up at Jesus. I shall not be in want. And he says, yeah, that's right. Because I was perfectly content. Because I prayed perfect prayers to my Father. All this is yours. You go on, you know. I walk in the paths of righteousness. And Jesus, yeah, that's right. He nods along. That's right. Because I always did what's right. All this is yours. And you're getting more confident as you pray, right? Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And Jesus says, that's right, because I conquered death and pain and suffering for you. All my victory is yours. All I have is yours. When we pray like that, the fancy word for Jesus praying for us, the fancy church word is vicarious, right? That he lived in our place, that he prays in our place, and that we don't need to pretend to be perfect. And so if today Jesus is perfect for us, we can be honest as we sing Psalm 23. And that's how we can celebrate Mother's Day today too, right? Mom, there is just no longer any need for you to pretend to be the perfect mom. And children, there is just no longer any need for you to pretend that you're the perfect child and that your relationship is perfect. Jesus was perfect, so we can be honest today. So, Mom, wouldn't it be cool if today you saw your kids how they really are without glossing over any of their deficiencies? You saw them for how sneaky they are and how rascally they are and how discontented they can be. You saw them exactly how they are without ignoring any part, and you loved them just like that. Not because they're perfect, but because your good shepherd gave up his life for them. And kids, this one's maybe harder. Kids, what if you saw your mom for exactly who she is today? With all of her failures, how all her uncoolness, all her unfairness, and you loved her without ignoring any piece of it. You loved her just how she is. Not because she's perfect, but because your good shepherd lived his life in her place and gave up his life for her. What if all of us, today, we let the good shepherd be perfect, and today we just be his sheep? Let's pray. Good shepherd, you lived a perfect life for us. You went through every aspect of the Christian experience perfectly. And then you gave up your life for us. Help us to know you and your perfection better and better so that we can love one another more and more. Do it for your glory. Do it so that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.